I call to order the 78th meeting of the New Jersey Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council. My name is John Weingart, I live in New Jersey, Connecticut.
Bill Cotter, Mayor of Pleasant Township.
Amy Les, Precipity in Morris County.
Elizabeth Kelly, Morgan County, Freeholder.
Janice Kovach, Town of Clinton, Herman County.
Dudley Nick, Public Member for Morristown.
And on the telephone, we have?
Debbie Pastorelli, Greenwich Township, Warren County.
Josh Warren, Warren County.
This meeting has been advertised in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. We do have a quorum. All those who wish, please rise and pledge allegiance. Pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We are going to alter the order of the agenda somewhat, and I apologize to the public for this, but we're going to go into executive session just a couple of minutes because we have some legal matters that we want to be briefed about before getting into some of the substantive discussion on the agenda. We do have minutes from our last meeting, September 18th. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll second it.
Okay. Any discussion or corrections to the minutes? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? If you abstain, they don't pass. Not by question. We have many people, so.
I'm sure they're.
Okay. All right. So minutes are approved. With that, this item is on the agenda as number 14, so we're going to move it up, but we're going to go into executive session to discuss litigation that's been filed regarding the regional master plan, as well as contract negotiations regarding a memorandum agreement between that and the county. Is there a motion to go into executive session?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those in favor of returning to open session?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay. To the public, thanks, apologize for the inconvenience. What we discussed was the litigation that's been filed against the, since the Highlands Council adopted the regional master plan, since it became effective, and some of the issues regarding the memorandum of understanding with COA, which will be the next thing on the agenda. I just want to report, Chairman's report. Council, you had empowered me to choose members for the Highlands Development Credit Bank. We had a public process of seeking people interested in that and received a number of interested people, and now pick the members, and I'll circulate this, which is, but I'll just tell you that the way we structured it in the council resolution was there would be three members of the Highlands Council, and that would be Scott Whitenack and Eric Peterson and me, and then the members of the public would be Susan Kraft in her capacity as Executive Director of the State TDR Bank, Theodore Maglione, who's a developer, redeveloper, Ken Klipstein, a Conservation Land Stewardship Public Member, Dale Davis, farmer in the Highlands region, Michael Halpin, banking, finance, land economics category, and one member of the Garden State Preservation Trust to be named shortly. So I'll pass this around and just to let you know that process is underway. And only other item to mention, which I assume everyone knows from newspaper, is that Governor Corzine has named Lisa Jackson to be his chief of staff, effective sometime in November, and they will presumably sometime be named a commissioner of the Department of Environmental Protection, who I think it is safe to say will not be any of the people whose names have been on any websites or any other location where I've seen them. And also there will be a need for a new Secretary of Agriculture, too, so there will be changes in trend on commitment. Yes?
John, can you hear me?
Yes.
I haven't seen my name on the website. Does that mean I am a decision?
You are. Yes. A sure sign. And we have bumper stickers for you here, Jack, to start the campaign. Other members have any other items to report?
I don't.
going to move the executive director's report lower in the agenda so we can get, we have a number of items we have to vote on, basic numbers 8 through 12 on the agenda. And most, if not all of them, have some time sensitivity, and I know some members have time constraints. So we want to get to those now, and then we'll do the executive director's report subsequently. So I think we'll turn to item 8.
The first resolution before you today is a resolution for the Highlands Council to work on, to address PL 2008 Chapter 46 and Executive Order 114. And in order to do that, we want to address planning, to address Highlands Affordable Housing Guidelines. So this will assist us then, because if you recall, A500 was signed on the same day as the Highlands Council considered the Highlands Regional Master Plan, that was July 17th. And so now we need to put forth guidelines to respond to that those new requirements of this regional planning entity. In the same manner, the Netherlands are doing this, and so are the Pinelands. We also have to respond to Executive 114 and the implications that has put on this council. And so we're asking for this first resolution for you to approve, that we will bring to you affordable housing guidelines.
Would someone like to introduce the resolution?
I'll move the resolution. Second.
Okay.
Might I add, I apologize for doing so, but this will of course be done in the correct manner with public hearing and taking public comments, just as we did in the adoption of the Regional Master Plan. There will be a very open public process for these guidelines.
Okay.
Yes, don't.
One thing just to add, this is not an amendment or supplement to the Regional Master Plan itself. Chapter 46 was a new requirement under the Fair Housing Act. So it requires regional planning entities such as us, the Pinelands and the Meadowlands, to adopt a system for the two major requirements, the 20% requirement for new residential development, and a system for allocation of affordable housing obligations up to 50% per town. So it's not going to be a supplement to the Regional Master Plan. We're not going to be amending the Regional Master Plan. It will be guidelines standalone underneath the authority of the Fair Housing Act, which we have new powers under the Fair Housing Act.
Does this reflect that under COA we go back to 2004 for our growth obligations? What is the date of the guidelines, the date of the passage of the Highlands Act?
Well, the 20% requirement will be effective, and this is one of the questions actually we had for the Attorney General's office, but likely on potentially we haven't gotten the answer yet, but it will not be related to the Highlands Act itself. It will be related to the Fair Housing Act.
Any questions or comments? Any questions or comments?
I have a question.
Yes, Debbie.
Does that new legislation require us to pass this resolution? I don't understand why we're taking this action. I mean, we're required to support the laws.
We're basically asking you to do this in order for the staff to start putting together these guidelines, and then we'll go through the public process. But we want to start the process officially today with you passing this resolution to get the staff to start this work.
Well, why would a resolution, the formality and weight of a resolution, require to direct the staff to? And we didn't direct the staff to negotiate the whole COA agreement without our input. Why, I don't see why this resolution would be necessary. I mean, could we do it by motion?
We could. I don't know what's the difference between resolution and motion?
Yeah, what we were seeking through this was to make it abundantly clear
right.
to the public that we're going to go through.
Sorry, Tom, I can't hear you.
What we were seeking to do through this resolution was to make it abundantly clear to the public that we will be doing this through a formal process through comment and response to comment document and public hearings. That's the most important part of this. I think that's important to put in the resolution.
Thank you.
Other comments from council members? Members of the public, wish to comment?
Yes. Mr. Chairman?
Oh, I'm sorry, hello. Eric?
Eric Peterson, I just want to let you know I'm on the phone.
Welcome.
Hey, Jeff, can you grab the mic?
Sure. Do I need to grab it?
It tapes you, Jeff.
Oh, okay.
It's not for...
Yeah, I thought I covered
turn,
already.
Just turn it towards you as well.
I thought the president would have covered the tapes already. One I mean, I, what I want to say, I think you're absolutely right.
Why don't you identify yourself?
Sure, Jeff Tittle, Director of New Jersey Sierra Club. One, I think you're absolutely right. You have to do everything by resolution because there's so many lawsuits and things applying. You better do everything according to law. So I concur. I just have a question for Tom. When I read 8500, it also amended the Highlands Act too. So wouldn't you also need to amend the plan as well?
Let me just be clear, Jeff. I mean, no, wait. We'll make it as a statement. We're not going to get to a question and answer, but if you raise it, Tom can.
Okay.
So that's the question?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Somebody else back there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Just a quick question on this. My name is Al Danielson.
You have to turn the microphone around, sorry.
Okay. This way?
Yeah.
Okay. Just one quick question about this. My name is Howard Dennison, property owner in the Highlands. And there was one aspect I didn't quite pick up on, and that was how this is going to affect commercial development, such as the hiring of employees or a manufacturing plant that would want to expand. I believe right now there's a COA obligation any commercial plants or anything over 5,600 square feet. And I also believe that there's a COA obligation for employment of over 16 employees. And is this being addressed also? That's my question.
Thanks. We'll get responses to all the questions after. Any other public comments? Well, let me just see if Eileen or Tom have any want to respond at all to those questions.
No, we have to do a little.
I just have a question or a concern about in the next to the last, whereas in the middle, where it says support redevelopment and development to maximize affordable housing opportunities. I don't quite know what maximize means. The town only has enough land to build a quarter of what their fair share is. Will somebody say, but tear down something and go up five stories to do it? I don't understand that word.
It's really just to maximize opportunities by looking at the opportunities for growth and for workforce development. But it doesn't mean that there would be any lessening of the protections for the natural resources. And I think you'll hear more about that in the MOU, because that will dictate the sustainable development in the Highlands. But there may be opportunities to look at opportunities to bring in jobs to the region. But everything will be premised upon protection of the resources.
But this entire whereas comes from the executive order. Right?
Yes.
Right. This is all
important. It does.
And that maximizes is in
that
is
14.
Yeah.
The language is verbatim from EO-114.
Other comments or questions? Are we ready to vote for all those in favor of the resolution?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Debbie Pastorelli's opposed? Abstentions? Okay. Move on to item 9 on the agenda.
I would like to acknowledge Lucy Vandenberg, the executive director from COA, is here with us now. Myself and Tom attended the Council on Affordable Housing meeting yesterday, and Lucy is doing the same here, so that she's offering herself as a resource. If there are any questions or issues you'd like to direct to her during our consideration, your consideration of the Memorandum of Understanding. Thank you, Lucy. The first thing, before we get into this, I would like just to acknowledge receipt of a letter from the Fair Share Housing Centre from Kevin Walsh. I did send this letter to all the members of the council, those on the phone as well, so that you would have it. And with that, Kevin Walsh included a suggestion of an amendment to the MOU. So just to acknowledge that that is all members of the council have received that. Okay, then to get to the Memorandum of Understanding, you have before you a resolution to authorize me to sign the Memorandum of Understanding on your behalf. The memorandum has been worked out with the staff from the Council on Affordable Housing and indeed Commissioner Doria. And we've worked on this in response to Executive Order 114. Just to go over the major points in the MOU, it addresses various issues. It addresses, first of all, the coordination of the planning process. This is the MOU that we had discussed doing with COA even before EO 114, similar to what we had done with the Office of Smart Growth and State Planning Commission. Basically, a process by which we share information and work together as state agencies to further the good for the state of New Jersey and to meet the objectives of Council of Affordable Housing and the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council. The second portion of the MOU addresses implementation of Chapter 46 and again how the Highlands Council will work and make sure that we respond to Chapter 46 and that, again, you've started that process with the resolution you previously adopted. Then under Section C, implementation of Executive Order 114, here we talk about the process working together with COA, looking at adjusted growth projections, growth share obligations, providing affordable housing opportunities while protecting the resources, 100% affordable developments, and extension of deadlines. All of these came from Executive Order 114. What I would like to talk to you mostly about is the extension of deadlines and what this means for municipalities. Municipalities currently have a deadline of December 31st of 2008 to bring their plans to Council on Affordable Housing. This extension would allow conforming municipalities or those that file a notice of intent to conform and who would also seek a waiver from COA, it would give them the opportunity to work with us and through the process of conformance and a local build out to then have the numbers given to them or worked out with them of what the sustainable development is for that municipality consistent with the regional master plan. And at that point, we would then work with Council on Affordable Housing on looking at those numbers from the 2004 to 2018 period consistent with the methodology of COA. So if this memorandum of understanding is agreed upon today, we will send a letter out tomorrow to all the municipalities explaining this to them and giving them the paperwork for the intent to conform, which as we discussed previously is non-binding consistent with the Highlands Regional Master Plan and the Fair Housing Act. The Regional Master Plan and the Highlands Act. And we would also give them the resolution from COA for that waiver request. We would also give them a copy of the Memorandum of Understanding. Also, this MOU deals with scarce resources and priority review. This would be for, in terms of the entire Highlands region under COA's jurisdiction, a scarce resource constraints apply so that towns that were coming forward and continuing to do development, this would make sure that they met their affordable obligations and didn't use either scarce water, sewer, or land resources without being taken care of their co-obligation. If they do indeed include the affordable housing obligations, they would be allowed to continue to move forward, or if they could prove to the Council on Affordable Housing that there were no scarce resources, those projects would move forward. Exempted from that are all the exemptions and the waivers pursuant to the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Act. And finally, under Section D, the MOU deals with coordination between the two agencies during the plan conformance process. And finally, coordination of transfer development rights. Again, making sure that we worked with Council on Affordable Housing as we do with other agencies, but in terms here of receiving areas within the region. We did send out the Memorandum of Understanding to all council members, and it was posted on the web on Monday.
Thank you. Would someone like to move the resolution?
Second.
Second by Janice. Questions, discussion? Members? Questions or comments from the public?
Julia Summers, Executive Director, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I recognize this was not reached easily, and I wanted to congratulate you on having gotten this far. I will say that there is concern on our part that the memorandum of understanding is very detail-free, and I was pleased to know that there is going to be a whole process that is going to follow this to flesh out the details. There are a lot of details, things that came to mind for us, for instance, where you have communities that want to serve as a region to address up to 50% of their affordable housing obligations. There's nothing in here to tell communities yet. There's nothing in here yet to tell communities how they're going to deal with things like tax sharing. So we recognize there's a lot of detail to come. But I wanted to say thank you. I think this is a great first step.
Thank you.
Jeff Tittle, Director, New Jersey Sierra Club. I also want to say that I think this is moving in the right direction, but there are some questions and some areas that I think have to be more fleshed out, and I think implementation is going to be critical. There are currently 8 lawsuits that have been filed against the executive order by the governor, and I think that they will probably prevail, because in order for an executive order to really succeed, it cannot trump an existing rule and it cannot trump a plan, it's where there's an absence of it. And what I want to caution you as you go forward, that everything you do, you need to amend the plan, and you need to make sure COA amends their rules in order to protect against litigation where you could potentially lose. And I'll use the example of when the numbers are hopefully reevaluated, because I think many of the towns in the Highlands were hit with numbers that were extremely high, not based on the type of development that was even occurring in the towns, and even greater than the potential because of the Highlands Plan and the Highlands Act. And I think that as those numbers hopefully get reduced, that COA then adopts those numbers in a rule to protect those towns, just like the extension that's being given for towns that come in to the plan, that the waivers are properly given by COA to make sure the towns are protected, that, you know, December 31st, all of a sudden they don't get a bunch of lawsuits filed by builders against their towns as they're trying to work with you to conform to the plan and move forward. I also have a couple of other issues I wanted to raise. One is on the 3,000 units from round 3. I really think that many of those numbers may not be viable, and that there has to be a readjustment of that. My other concern is that the towns that do not conform to the plan, their obligations will go up and go up substantially. And that may be a good reason for why all the towns in the Highlands should come in. But I think that that's something that people should really understand and know. But I think that number 3,000 is high and needs to be. And when you look at the overall numbers for the Highlands, there's a substantial number of units up to 6,000. And, you know, Fair Share has already sent a letter basically kind of warning you that those numbers have to go somewhere, and COA needs to make sure that the statewide obligation is reflective of changes in the Highlands, so that if there's going to be growth outside of the Highlands because of protections of water resources in the Highlands, then COA has to reflect those changes and make sure that those areas plans are adjusted to accept that additional growth. Another thing that I'm concerned about is that in Section 6 and 7, the word feasible, it says that it's basically a 20% set aside where feasible needs to be more tightly defined, so that feasible doesn't mean, well, I don't want to do it, or it's going to underline my bottom line. It means where there's a physical limitation because you can't get sewers or infrastructure or whatever it is that makes it not feasible. I'm also supportive of the concept, but again, COA has to follow through and actually declare it. It can't just be in an MOA that land, water, and sewage in the Highlands become a scarce resource. That's the best insulation the towns will have against builder remedy lawsuits, because it means that affordable housing projects and those that help meet the obligation will go first, and we'll get the first resources so that there won't be builders' remedy suits later. And I think that's something that, again, it's good at MOA, but it actually has to be adopted by COA. An MOA won't mean that much. The other concern that I have is on TDR. I think unless there's some changes to this done either now or at a later date, that it pretty much kills TDR, because if the developer has to buy credits and then have a 20% set aside, the financial resources may not make that TDR possible, unless we're doing mansions and short hills, then it probably would work. But I think the concern I have is that has to be looked at separately so that TDR can actually happen. And then another concern I have, and again, going to the COA rules, in the amended COA rules, there's a section where they're asking for, not asking, they're requiring towns basically, when they do inclusionary zoning projects, they have to be certain, meet certain densities. If you're in planning area 2, it's 6 units per acre. If you're in planning area 5, it's 4 units. Highlands are unique, and I think that you should be working with COA as part of this for them to change the rules to, so that what's in the Highlands plan and the type of densities of development that you believe are appropriate as you work with the plan are recognized by COA. Because I'll give you an example. The town wants to meet its obligation by taking a portion of existing structures on a preserve farm, where you have a 100-acre preserve farm, and you have an existing farmhouse, some outbuildings, and a barn, and you cut up the farmhouse into 4 units and the barn into 8 units, and maybe do a couple units on the other outbuildings. Well, you may only have 14 units on a 100-acre farm, and what they're saying in the rule, well, your density is too low, you don't get the your town wouldn't get the presumption of validity on a site like that. So I think that there needs to be further work done past this MOA to make sure that the COA rules reflect the Highlands plan and the work that you're trying to do. Because even though I may have had problems with the plan and may have objected to certain parts of it, I also understand that if we don't make sure COA works with you guys and make sure that your plan is reflected in the COA rules, and it opens up a loophole big enough for a bulldozer to drive through and a lot of lawyers and litigation and builders' remedy suits. So, thank you.
Thank you. Other comments? Councilmembers, have other comments, questions?
I do.
Yes, Debbie. Oh, I'm sorry, there's one more. Wilma.
Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. I have, there's a concern, I think, with one specific paragraph, which is paragraph 13 about the industrial growth projections, where it says that a municipality may adopt revisions to its master plan, regulations, et cetera, that are stricter as determined by the Highlands Council than the minimum necessary to obtain approval for conformance. Was these adjusted growth projections for COA can only be based on consistency with the RMP and not the stricter standards that the municipality may work out even during the conformance process? And I think this is a potential conflict where the municipalities were previously informed that they could be stricter and that their standards would be upheld. And I assume that this is the legal shield would apply. But in this case, it indicates that the stricter standards would not be allowed in conjunction with COA growth projections. So I think this is a concern.
Thank you. Other public comments? Debbie?
I assure you we did not choreograph this, but my 2 points have to follow up on the 2 points from the last two members of the public. One is Jeff Tittle's comments about there needs to be more work and relative to how we implement the regional master plan in conjunction with the COA rules. And looking at this overall, this document is not so much resolution of conflicts between the Highlands Act, the Regional Master Plan, and the COA rules, as it is a capitulation to the COA rules in A500. I think we should push a lot stronger to address some issues for our primary goal, which is the protection of natural resources. And that's point one. Point two is what Wilma was talking about, which actually reflects. John, I'm going to propose an amendment to this resolution. At what point do you want to consider those? Would this be the time for me to, for the MOU, I should say?
It would be, this would be a great time. It would be an amendment to the resolution to amend the MOU, but go ahead.
Whatever the procedural is. I want to look at, I'm not sure page number, don't know if John has it pronounced, but item number 15, it's number 15 in the MOU.
Page 8.
This addresses a point, this roughly addresses the point that Wilma brought up. I propose that this section be deleted, because what it does is it discourages municipalities from using the RMT data to assess stricter standards, whether or not they totally conform, or at least initially totally conform. We certainly want to encourage them, and I think that's consistent with also the flexibility, that we want them to use the best available data, and that is consistent with resource protection. And if the council staff has prepared, which refers to here as adjusted growth protection, in view of resource protection standards and data, then we should be encouraging that to be used. We shouldn't be prohibiting municipalities from doing that are non-conforming.
Before I ask for a second, I don't know, Eileen or Tom, you want to explain what the thinking was behind that section?
First of all, we'd like to state that the towns can, of course, use the data, but they'd be working with Council on Affordable Housing, just as any town can come in and look for adjusted numbers. What we're talking about here is that it is only through conformance that you conform to all the elements of the regional master plan. And when we go through the local build-out analysis, it is every single goal, policy, and objective. It's everything has to be met. And it is thus that you come to those adjusted numbers. If a town is not conforming to the regional master plan, they are not doing all of that work and shouldn't be taking those numbers as the adjusted numbers. They can, however, and they're entirely on their own on this, they're not choosing to conform. They can work with COA, they can request from COA whatever they wish in terms of adjusted numbers, using the data and science from the plan, but they're on their own.
But the fact that this is in there would preclude COA from working with them on those factors.
No,
if we were silent on this matter, it would be left up to the discretion of the agency. So by explicitly stating this, it creates a problem.
Is there a second to the amendment? No, there isn't. So there's no second. Did you have other points, Debbie?
On section 18, number 18, refers to the Highlands Council shall create realistic opportunities for municipalities to adjust. Since this is a memorandum of agreement between two agencies, it would seem important to me to have and COA included
in this, so that both agencies are agreeing to look at realistic opportunities and need based on adjusted third-round projections, and not just putting burden on the council. Debbie, I'm not sure if you were on the phone when the context we're discussing this in, which doesn't preclude any amendments, is that if we do amend this, then COA will have to reconsider it, and we will not meet the deadline in the governor's executive order. We have not always met every deadline, but just that's the reality in which we're operating. So you're suggesting an amendment to do what you just said, Debbie?
Yeah, COA should be bound to this as we are. I think that serves the public interest the best.
So what was the language of your amendment?
After the words the Highland Council, we would add and COA.
Is there a second? There's no second.
And on item 27, I would suggest that we add language, it's actually in our plan conformance guidance document, I think, that the notice of intent, something to the effect that this notice of intent is not binding with respect to land within the planning area. Unless, Tom, you feel there's somewhere else in this document that explicitly states that. Again, I'm of the mindset and having the experience of arguing this in court.
We actually are giving them
things aren't explicitly stated, they can be argued in a different direction.
We actually are giving each of the towns a sample resolution that has the language in it that it is non-binding for lands within the planning area.
Okay. So you think that will cover it?
Yes, I do.
I have one item, Tom.
Yes, Jack.
Tom?
Go ahead.
Tom.
Yeah.
I understand, I think I understand what Jeff Tittle was saying about the numbers going up for non-conforming towns. But I'm very distressed if that's the case. So without belaboring this issue right now, I would like to ask Tom to look into that and report back to us as soon as possible on whether that is going to be the case. In other words, are these third round rule numbers going to be changed as a result of conformance or non-conformance?
I'd gladly get back to you on that, Jack.
That's been fine.
Other comments from council members? Questions? All those in favor of the resolution?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Abstentions? Okay, thank you. The resolution carries, and I echo what was said before that this was an incredible amount of work on the parts of the staff of both the Council on Affordable Housing and the Highlands Council. Significant accomplishment moving forward with this. Thank you all for that.
May I add to that, Chair, and just to again thank Lucy, because Lucy and Melissa have worked with us day and night and weekends since we started working on this MOU over the last month. And I want to really recognize her because Tom and I feel that we've sort of lived with Lucy and Melissa for the last month.
Peace in the Middle East can't be far behind. thank you. All right, next item is item 10 on the agenda is procedures for Highlands redevelopment areas.
Just to give you a little bit of background on this, remind everybody, on June 16th, the Highlands Council released a revised procedure for the designation of redevelopment areas in the preservation area, along with a summary of changes from the draft procedures of May 2007. Comments were received by July 16th, 2008, and the council prepared a summary of public comments received on that June 2008 draft, along with proposed council responses. Further, we brought this to you at your meeting of September 18th, and the Highlands Council staff made edits to the document based on that discussion. It also presented to you all in track changes. One change was made to the flow chart on page 2, to reflect the requirement of 70% of an area affecting, that was the added term, multiple contiguous parcels covered with impervious surface. That was a request of council at the last meeting, and we did that. The definition of Highlands redevelopment was changed to reference the redevelopment program in the regional master plan, and a step C was added to section 1.7, preliminary determination, that council staff shall prepare a preliminary findings report that will be provided to the public and the applicant so that it may be determined if the proposed project may be modified to avoid any inconsistencies with the regional master plan. So we've made those changes, given you all the information, and now ask you to consider a resolution of approving those procedures.
Someone like to move, introduce the resolution?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Comments, discussion? Public comments on this?
Julia Summers, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. Although we still believe the May 2007 draft redevelopment site designation procedures required a greater level of involvement and scrutiny by Highlands Council than the current draft, we definitely appreciate the improved opportunities for public involvement that then was proposed in the June 16th, 2008 draft, specifically providing the public a summary of issues discussed during the pre-application meeting, providing the public with the staff's draft report, and a minimum of 10 business day comment period prior to the council's determination, and the requirement that the petitioner give public notice by publication of a legal notice at least 10 business days before the council meeting, of which the council will make its final determination. In addition, we believe that by listing the resource protection criteria that must continue to be maintained under the granting of a waiver, it will better inform the petitioner as to the viability of his request for a waiver and will ultimately uphold the resource protections of the Act and the RMP. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jeff Tittle, New Jersey, Sierra Club. I'm going to start off with one overall point and then a couple of sub-points. I think first and foremost that I know that because of what's happened with A500 and that I think first and foremost that as part of a redevelopment area, you should also be looking at its feasibility for meeting a community's affordable housing obligation, because redevelopment sites, depending on how they come in, will probably be, especially in the preservation area, one of the places where they can be able to meet their obligations. The other thing is that we should be looking at these redevelopment sites for mixed use, so that if they are redoing a shopping center, that they add the housing that may be generated from that development, or some office park or whatever it is. So I think that we should be looking at both for affordable housing and mixed use. A couple of different little points. On Highlands redevelopment area, it says, you know, it could be part or all of a parcel. I guess the question I have is, so if someone has, I'll just make up something like a 200-acre piece of a 200-acre parcel, and there's 30 acres in the bottom, they could just say, well, that 30 acres is impervious, and then come in under it, because it's just part and part, you know. So that's something that I kind of wonder, that could that interpretation and be widely used all over the place versus being in limited use, which when the Act was passed, redevelopment areas are supposed to be fairly limited, not all over the place. So that's first and foremost.
Thank you.
I have other points.
Okay, go ahead.
Section 3, where it talks about result in minimum feasible alteration or impairment of aquatic ecosystems, and you know, basically it's on the water quality. The Highlands is still in the preservation area. Highlands waters are still have an anti-degradation protection. That looks like it's weakening the anti-degradation protection. In fact, one of the things that you should be really looking at is a way not to allow minor increases in impairment or increases in impairment, but using the redevelopment areas as a way to help restore those ecosystems and those impairments, not to continue to make them, not to be allowed to make them worse. And then my final point is in section 4, I have concerns on the extension of sewers because it talks about adjacencies. And again, I know that, you know, the concern I have is you keep doing adjacent, and next thing you know, you got a sewer line that's moving. And I think that needs to be tightened up. I'm concerned that that the section on extension of existing public water and sewers could be used to move more than just minimal amounts.
Thanks. Any other public comments?
I had one. My comments in regard to color is, it's unfortunate that the state of New Jersey has to even have color.
Excuse me, we moved off color. We adopted the resolution.
This is in regard to the Highlands Act as well.
Okay, is this regard to the resolution before us now?
Yes, it is.
And you're in favor of it or opposed to it?
Presently, right now, I think that it, many aspects are unnecessary. What should be done is also with these resolutions and everything else, there is yet to be discussed a situation where jobs can be provided. Now you have...
Excuse me. We're going to have general comments at the end of the meeting. We're trying to.
I thought we were in general comments.
No, we're in the specific resolution that's item number.
Are we on 13?
No, we're on item number 10 on the agenda.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was on 13.
Okay, sorry.
Okay.
We'll get to you. Okay. Any other public comments on this resolution? Did you have any comments in response to the questions that were asked?
I think just on a couple of Jeff's, the earlier comments about looking at affordability when we're looking at redevelopment, that is in the plan. So we do look at that. And then also on the 200-acre parcel, if we were looking at a small area that had impervious surface, yes, that could be a redevelopment area, but then the rest of it would be restricted and de-restricted in perpetuity. So that would protect the other parts of that land.
Comments or questions? Resolution? Ready to vote? Okay. All those in favor of the resolution?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay. We now move to item 11, consideration of certain planning assistance grants. We actually have 13 grants to consider today.
Thank you, Chair. Just a little bit of a background. These are, of the 13, 12 are initial assessment grants. Those are those grants to look at and consider conformance. Just to bring you up to date where we are, if these grants go through today, we will have 46% of the acreage of the Highlands will be have gone through these initial have taken these initial assessment grants over approximately $500,000 on these projects and 31 towns. So that kind of gives you a picture of where we are. I spoke with Tom to see if we could, in order to facilitate moving this, if we could take the grants and do the resolutions in one go. With the exception of Clinton Town, because we have refused. Janice had said that she would refuse herself from that, unless any other members feel that there's another one that they would refuse themselves from. I'll just go down and let you know about each one of them and give you a history. For Burnett's Township, they are applying for an initial assessment grant. They are a planning area community. They would start off with 5,000 up to a total of 15,000 available. Prior grant, they had a COA third round grant, $7,500 approved, 12-12-05 paid out, 5-15-06. Booton Township is a split town with planning area and preservation area, applying for an initial assessment grant. They have no executed prior grant. Califon Borough, a preservation area, applying for an initial assessment grant. In this case, as allowed for it, under these grants, they've applied for 20,000. 5,000 is for an initial stream flooding study they wanted to do, and the staff are recommending that that is a good thing to do, and particularly for Califon Borough. And so we're saying that we are advising the council that it would be good to approve in the number of 20,000. Prior grant, they have an MP3 grant for a study of on-site alternative wastewater technologies in the amount of $12,790. It was approved in December of 2005, and we paid the amount of $12,245 in November of 2006. Skipping then to Clinton Township, there again, it's great personalities. That had to happen. They're a split town. It's an initial assessment grant, the amount of $15,000. Their prior grant is for a co-third round, $7,500 approved, $5,1508, and we haven't paid out on that grant yet. Denville Township is split between planning and preservation. Initial assessment grant here, and there. They have a prior co-third round grant of $7,500, which was approved 6-7-06 and paid out in November of 2006. Glen Garden of Borough is a preservation community. They're applying for initial assessment grant as well, and they have no prior grants with us. Malwa, likewise, applying for initial assessment, split between planning and preservation, no prior grants. Randolph Township, applying again, this is a split town, applying for initial assessment grant. In their prior grants, they've had COA third round, $7,500 approved, 12-5-05 and paid out 6-28-06. An MP3 grant, which was a study to illustrate how a planning area municipality can work to protect environmental resources and biodiversity through regulatory, land management and stewardship mechanisms. 50,000 was approved for that grant, 12/19/05, and that grant was fully paid out 11/15/06. Sparta Township, another split town, applying for the initial assessment. Prior grant for COA, third round, 7,500, approved February 1706. We haven't paid out on that one yet. Tewksbury Township, again a split town. Their prior grants were for COA third round, 7,500, approved December 2005 and paid out in May 2006. The final two grants are for Washington Borough. Initial assessment grant, this is a planning area, entirely planning area municipality, so they get first the 5,000 and then can get the further 10,000 for a total of 15,000. They are also applying for a TDR feasibility grant in the amount of 35,000. Their prior grants, they've had a COA third round, 7,500, approved December 2005, paid out November 2006, an MP3 grant, which was to develop a vision and strategies for implementing town centre redevelopment while balancing small town character and quality of life. It was a $52,000 grant, approved in December of 2005 and paid out in August of 2006.
Do, besides Janice, do councillors have conflicts with any of these? Would someone like to move the 12 of them, all but Clinton, do it in a separate?
So moved.
Second. Any questions or comments from council members? Questions or comments from the public? Yes.
Good afternoon. Dave Pfeiffer from the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. We note that a lot of grants now are being completed, and we're wondering whether or not the results of those grant projects, the final reports, will be available for distribution and for educational purposes throughout the region. Are they going to be available in electronic format or in printed format?
Thanks. Other public comments for this resolution?
We can make them. Those that we have electronically, we'll make available electronically.
Any other comments on this? Public comments? Council comments? Okay. All those in favor of the resolution?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay. Okay. We have a motion on the resolution for Clinton.
Denton Town are applying for initial assessment grant in the amount of 15,000. They are a split town as well. Prior grants and COA, for they had no substantive certification, so their grant amount was in the amount of 12,500, approved in December 2005 and paid out in March 2008. An MP3 grant, which was the development of a town water management plan in the amount of 35,000. That's still pending. We're working on it. It will be a pilot study, really, for those water management, use and conservation management plans. And they also have a TDR feasibility grant in the amount of 23,500, which was approved in April of this year.
Introduce this.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Comments? Public comments on this grant? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
Well, that's great that there's all this interest from the municipalities and that they're all coming forward, so many of them. We move now to item 12, which is the procedures for Highland Scenic Resource Inventory.
Janice,
Jackie,
Jackie's
Jackie.
Leaving.
Jackie.
Oh.
Jack, did you say you're leaving?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for your... Who is still on the phone, just to...
Debbie.
Eric.
Eric,
okay.
Scenic resource designation procedures. Just to give you the background on this, on June 16th, 2008, the Highlands Council released the revised procedure for nomination, evaluation, and inventory of Highlands regionally significant scenic resources, along with a summary of changes from the draft procedures of September 2007. Comments were received by July 16th, 2008. The council has prepared a summary of public comments received on that draft, along with proposed council responses. Final procedure has been developed for council review, and staff recommends adoption of the procedure. We did share with you the comments and the procedures that have been changed in response to those. The summary of public comments and response consolidates the comments received into 17 categories. Council responses are proposed for each of the comments. The responses are intended to explain either how the draft procedure was modified to address specific comments or to provide a clear rationale as to why staff believes suggested changes were not necessary or appropriate. Edits made to the scenic resource procedures were shown in track changes for ease of your review and correspond to the responses in that summary of public comments and responses. As a result of council discussions regarding proposed redevelopment area designation procedures, proposed procedure for nomination evaluation inventory of Highlands regionally significant scenic resources was modified to provide for public input following release of a draft staff recommendation similar to the process for WQMP amendment reviews. So we changed that because we heard from you on the redevelopment procedures. Likewise, make that change to the scenic for your consideration today.
Someone like to introduce the resolution?
So moved. Second.
Comments? Questions? Public comments on this?
Wilma Farai, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. I wanted to congratulate the council on this procedure. I think it has continued to improve over time. I particularly like the major change that was made, which has the proposed management plan not being required with the initial recommendation. But I do have a further comment. My understanding is that the proposal will go to the design advisory board, which will make a decision on whether the proposed resource is suitable to be part of the scenic resources inventory. I think that once a resource is on this suitable list, that the various checklists and standards that are developed for the plan should refer to this list of suitable resources along with the existing list of resources that are already on the regional scenic resource list, so that something gets some kind of recognition even though the management plan has not been fully determined and it's not in place. I think the management plans could take considerable amount of time. They could be a stumbling block. And I think that once a resource is deemed suitable to be on the final list, that it should get recognition in the RMP and in the standards so that it doesn't just, you know, fall through. Thank you.
Comments?
Helen Heinrich, Jersey Farm Bureau. This is another set of procedures that needs a lot more detailed work. And talking to the staff, I realize this is just a beginning, and passing the resolution, you're enabling them to go to work on filling this out. And we would hope that perhaps you would table this so the work would be done, but I understand the process, get something out there, get the staff working on it. We'll certainly try to work with them. There's a lot of problems with this. One is that it's very sketchy. If you take a look at the nomination form in terms of dealing with the ag resource area, there are hardly any signals to anybody using this that there is an agricultural area that possibly has agricultural scenic resources. I mean, they say vegetation, natural vegetation. That's not going to be very useful in the ag resource area. We think you need to really concentrate on doing a separate set of standards for that area. In terms of separating the management plan and the putting them on the list, we totally disagree with Wilma Fry, because as soon as you even put them on the list or suggest, this is a line drawn around a property, possibly a farm. If you're talking about the scenic vista being all the way from the right away of the road as far as you can see, that could be acres and acres of land that just the nomination itself was a notice to people to perhaps watch what's going on that farm. And we think this is going to reduce the value of the farm as a farm, because there'll be doubt about what kind of activities could go on there in the future. So, as Wilma said, the management plan could be months or years after the list, and the danger could be done right away without any consideration of how you might possibly develop incentives or compensation or narrow the impact of it, and no consideration of how the municipality is going to deal with the impacts of this. And I've been doing a little research, which I'm going to give you some copies of, and I have a list of references here. There's a lot of research that says that people, the general public, doesn't know what to look for in terms of farm resources. They don't know what stewardship looks like. They don't know what viable farm looks like. And so in order to deal with the resource area, the staff and the Scenic Design Advisory Board has really got to look into that. And I have two pages here. This is a work in process because I'm still exploring the net to find more useful things. But these are all resources, references that are not on your list. And I would like to find out more about what's on your list, because it doesn't seem to be reflected in the procedures. So I guess we prefer to have you. So also, we think you should make it clear that this is a very low priority for a town that's going through connecting. So it's going to be a very expensive, done right, expensive, time-consuming, and possibly contentious process. And they have so much else to do to get through your planning performance that we hope you put this down to them. And when they get through all of that, they can deal with this. Thanks.
Thank you. Council members? Ready to vote? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Kurt said no. Abstentions? No. Okay, we've finished item 12. We now go to item 6 and 7. I'm the executive director.
John?
Yes?
I have to sign off at this point to say goodbye to everybody.
Okay, it was good to not almost see you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah, just to bring you up to date on what some of the activities the council have been doing and the staff have been doing and what we're planning to do. We've been continuing to share information with municipalities and the counties, having our regular county meetings, but in terms of getting information out there, we had already gotten out, as we told you, the plan and the technical documents. We've now shared with them GIS layers and PDF maps, just for each municipality receiving their own mapping in PDF format of their town, so that they can use that information and the GIS layers if they have that capability. Also the sample resolutions of intent to conform and resolutions for grant applications. A lot of the towns, as we continue with our roadshow going out there and talking to the towns, were waiting for the intent to conform so they could see what the MOU would contain. So we expect to hear from more towns now that we have the executed memorandum of understanding. We will be working with COA. Tomorrow we will be sending out another mailing, and that mailing will have a letter from, on dual letterhead, from COA and from the Highlands Council explaining the MOU and the terms of the extension before the December 31st, 2008 deadline. And we will put in with the letter a copy of the MOU, a copy of the sample resolution from the Highlands Council of the intent to conform, and from Council on Affordable Housing, a copy of a resolution of the intent to petition. And that would be the request for waiver from that deadline. So we do this because we feel it's much easier to give the towns everything they need, not point them to websites, we can do that as well, but to give them hard copy in their hands what they need. As we go out to towns and we're handing them packages, that's what they're asking for. They say it really assists them, as well as all the electronic information. In terms of conformance standards, just to let you know and to let the public know, the 24 of the 25 plan performance standard guidance documents are now on our website. So many of them we already have went through a sort of a process where we could take public comment. Now we have new ones that have been put up, so I'd like the public to be aware of that. The plan performance process in working with the towns, we're working now on really putting together a program to facilitate towns through the conformance process, particularly through those basic elements that put the regulatory parts of the plan in place so that we can protect the resources while we start the long-term planning that will go on long after the 15-month period. In order to assist with that, in particular to assist with the immediate needs, we want to let you know that on November 10th, we have a League of Municipalities and Highlands Council joint program. It will be taking place here in our building, and what it will do is it's to assist professionals from municipalities in looking at the MOU, EO 114, and the beginning of the conformance process. So just to let you know, that's November 10th, starts at 10 in the morning, goes from 10 to 4. We've asked municipalities to send one professional simply because of space. We can have more of these later and intend to do that, but just because of the time sensitivity of this, to assist them in any questions they have in terms of that intent to conform and the initial assessment grant, to get those professionals in the room. We put out the notification on, I think it was only on Monday, and we've already had, we've got 33 people signed up and already have a waiting list for those that wanted 2, 3, and 4 professionals from towns. We definitely think that that's going to help in help towns come to terms with what's needed, and it really is geared towards the professionals. We will continue to go out to municipalities on their invitation, and have been doing so. I gave you a record of meetings that we've attended. One that we were meant to do two nights ago was Independence, but there was a storm, so we're doing that one on Veterans Day. It is a holiday, but the town requested it, and we try our best to make sure we can facilitate them. They're having a meeting that evening, we'll be there. WQMP.
Be able to save some space in the room for any council members?
Absolutely not, Mimi.
Good, now I have an excuse not to be done.
Truth to tell, Mimi, our concern is that we can't violate the fire code, and we can't have, you know, and so we're really, mm-hmm. So if you'd like to attend, let me know, and I'll let you know if there's space. Sounds.
Or you have a week to be appointed town planner.
Oh, and I should have mentioned that the cost of sending a professional for the day can be included as part of the initial assessment grant. So they can defray that cost, the town can, through that grant program. We let them know that as well. For WQMP reviews, we wanted to let everybody know that we have posted for public review a one WQMP project-specific amendment for Hamilton Farms Golf Club, comments due by November 6th. So that is on the web currently. I want to also talk to you about exemptions number 9 and 11. The exemptions are handled by the Department of Environmental Protection, but exemptions 9 and 11 contain the language that those exemptions have to be consistent with the goals and purposes of the Act. DEP has asked us to comment on certain of those exemptions, and I wanted to make sure that we did good state agency coordination and we assisted them. So we did assist them, and I offered comments, and I shared those with you. We designed a template in order to respond to those, and in terms of looking then at each of these projects in terms of consistency with the goals and purposes of the Act, which we see as our work in the Regional Master Plan. However, I didn't want to do that in a public forum until the council had an opportunity to see the kind of reviews we've been doing, the template that we had designed, and to ask if you approved of that, that we would continue to do that for DEP when they asked us to, and that we would make those comments public so that the public could share and see what we had done. Also, I spoke with Mark Moriello from DEP and asked that if we did this and if you approved this, that the same opportunity would be accorded to us, so that when we see those exceptions coming in, if we feel there's one that would be important for us to comment on, that we would alert DEP to that and we would offer our comments on that particular exemption. So if you approve of what I've sent you and the template that we've created, we'll put those online, and then we will continue to assist DEP when they request it on exemptions 9 and 11.
DEP like them?
They didn't actually speak to liking or disliking. They were grateful that we had done them.
I think DEP wants to retain the authority to do this, but doesn't have the staff to do all the work.
Just as a note too, as we move forward in the planning area, there will be exemptions and they will be handled by your staff. So it's a lot of us. The first RMP update, I think that this sort of escaped everybody's notice. It may not have, but certainly I didn't bring it out in public, and I should have. When we did the wastewater quality management plan amendments at the last meeting, one of them was a town-wide amendment for the township of Holland. And as we were doing that, and looking and reviewing all the layers of information, there were three existing communities in Holland Township. And one of them appeared to be, these raised questions for staff. So we looked into that. And what we discovered had happened is at the time that we were doing the mapping and doing the lands model, a large area of the town had been cleared for a large lot development. And given that it was completely cleared, had no sort of trees left on it, and it came up in the mapping system as having none of the features that would normally show for protection, the protection zone or the conservation zone. Now that we're able to have another look at that area, we could see that it was actually large lot development and should not have been captured as existing community. So that being a factual update, we ran it through the model, and it turns out that it should be captured as protection zone. We did let the town know. They had no objection. They understood that it was purely factual and that the zone map should then thus show that as protection. So we wanted to let you know that that was the first official RMP update based on factual information. In an effort to save you time, I won't go through all the meetings that we've attended, but I did in the executive director's report list them. There were many, and we're very pleased to be doing with these with the towns. And again, like to get the word out, we're available. Tom and I will go out to the towns and we'll conduct these informational sessions and take comments from the public and questions from the public and from the governing body. And we feel that it serves the council well. Thank you.
Any questions for them? Before we go back to public comments, any council member comments or issues anyone wants to bring up? Okay, then we'll go to item 13, public comments. And just to reiterate, our practice is to ask that you limit your comments to 3 minutes or so. And if you want to elaborate or reiterate with written comments, we would welcome that. Sir?
Sure.
Okay, thanks for coming. Okay, come right up.
I want to thank you for all the hard work that you're doing on this.
Please identify yourself.
I'm sorry, my name again is Al Danielson. I'm the president of a corporation called Cleanberg. And a little bit about my corporation is the fact that we are in the business of mitigating the acids which come out of coal-burning power plants. But to make a long story short, it is a shame that we even have to have COA. The state of New Jersey has to turn around its thinking right now. And to make this a
more friendly business state. Right now, we're at the bottom of the heap. So that these people will get not a handout or anything else to help them along, but a hand up to help them with jobs creation. And this is what we need in this state more than anything. This would solve many of our problems. It would even help solve the financing of the Highlands. But, you know, instead of businesses leaving, and there have been a number of them, and I'm in touch with the higher management of quite a few corporations, and what they say to me is the fact that it's the oppressive regulations that they're going through, as well as excessive taxations, and the other states are more welcoming to them. Hence, they're moving now. One recent one that I deal with is a company called Church & Dwight. Many of you know it as the Arm & Hammer brand. And that just moved across to York, Pennsylvania. Another one right up in the Highlands area was a company called Ico Polymers. And they just moved across to Allentown. The thing that New Jersey should be doing is to try and retain these and try to retain the jobs. And when we have more jobs here, the need for affordable housing will go down. People can afford. And basically, that's what I had to say.
Thank you. Your comments.
It is safe to say you haven't missed me. My name is Hank Klump. I own 150 acres in the Highlands Preservation Area that has had its real estate value stolen from me. Trenton came in and took it. People are very concerned, worried, losing sleep over the possibility of losing money, 401k, and all they have invested in during this financial crisis. It is an awful feeling. Just ask any of us who have had their property values stolen from them in the Highlands Preservation Area. We have been feeling the pain for over 4 years now. Where are the funds to rescue us? Corzine has issued an executive order to come up with $10 million to put into the TDR bank. My property alone had a real estate value of millions of dollars. I don't want to be greedy, so just give me $1 million now, and then $1 million a year until you have paid me for what you have taken from me. To show you what a good guy I am, I won't even charge you for the interest I'm losing. Uninformed people argue that farmers still have their farm. No one has taken their land, but they don't understand, but what they don't understand has been taken. They don't understand equity and the fact that farmers are not developers. However, when all you have is tied up in your property, you don't know what the future holds. Farmland has often been in families for generations, but the farmland real estate value is their financial safety net. Farmland is often sold with great sadness, and because it is sheer necessity. The farmer's too old, has no family members to carry on, illness, or perhaps to help send a grandchild to college. Whatever the case, the land was his investment. The money should be there. For the current financial crisis, people are waiting for help, and help is on the way. Landowners in the Highlands Preservation Area are waiting for help for their financial crisis. Is any help on the way? P.S. You have my address. Please send my first check there. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Andy Drysdale, Chester Township. I wrote this up a couple of weeks ago when I thought there was going to be a meeting then. But before I read this, I'd just like to say that, you know, there's probably a good source of revenue, which the state is missing out on, and something that the legislature and the governor might be able to do something about it, would be, you know, to commit to drilling offshore, and I think there's a good chance they could get some revenue from that, and it could be done in very, with the modern technology, it could be done in a you know, environmentally safe way. So that's just not a suggestion. Creeping socialism, Marxism or communism, as the case may be, is now negatively affecting people, not just in the Highlands area of New Jersey, but all across the country. Many people, including me and my wife Lois, were severely damaged financially by the New Jersey Highlands Act, which was passed in 2004. The legislature and the governor of New Jersey knew that they did not have the money to pay landowners for their losses as a result of this act, but they did it anyway. Now, we, as well as a huge number of people all across this country, are being financially damaged by the liberal government creeps, who in the late 1990s pressured banks and other lending institutions to loan money to people who could not pay it back. This problem was exacerbated by the high cost of fuel, which raised the cost of just about everything. The Highlands Act goes beyond socialism, which is bad enough, but may well fit into one of the other categories first mentioned above. This act was perpetrated for less than honest reasons, using what sounded like noble causes, but were not based on facts, such as clean water, endangered species, and scenic vistas. This liberal program, as well as many others, should be eliminated as soon as possible. Given the state of the economy, do you think that anyone is champing at the bit to buy TDRs? I don't think so. Don't you think that water can be filtered? I think it can. Who is the most endangered species? I think it is the uncompensated landowners. How should we preserve scenic vistas? I think that incentives such as cluster zoning put in place by municipalities, not by the state, would be very effective. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments? Our next scheduled meeting is Thursday, November 20th at 10 o'clock. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. All those in favor? Thank you.
Love the plan.
Absolutely.
The gathering. We'll need some refreshments. We'll be around. Right. I have to show you that.
I do too.
I take exception to the TDR all the time. If I knew the more time I had on. I take exception to that.
One.
Have you heard of it? Yeah, I think.
No.